And you are listening to FOW Live here on the FOW Radio Network on Podbean Live. I am Patrick, your host. With me is Jim Dangle and Eric Mikavilis, absent as usual on assignment, taking care of the Bizwax. I mean, what a weekend she's got to prepare for. Fellas, welcome back. It's been a few weeks. We took a little break, but here we are. I don't know what's the biggest deal of all. Of course, phases 5 and 6 of the MCU were released. Big Brother's back. And yeah, I mean, what else has been happening in your lives?
I mean, fucking wrestling. Fuck all that other stuff. Fucking wrestling, that's what's been happening in our lives. Lots of it. Lots of great wrestling. Since we've all hung out, 2 out of 3 of us have gone to different wrestling shows, and Eric's looking to go to a wrestling show this week.
Well, there are plenty of wrestling shows to go to this week, so coming up. Eric, are we there?
Oh no, I don't hear him. I mean, I see him as listed there, but he might have us on mute accidentally. Ah, he's saying in the group chat he's having audio issues, so he might have to leave and come back. But
so will, someone is having, as they say,
and it's not Patrick,
performance issues.
Performance issues. Well, you know, it happens to most guys. You know,
I guess I'm not going to be able to use my headphones tonight. That's sad.
You get a little worked up and, you know, get too into your head and not into the moment. And, you know, performance issues.
No, my little headphone connector is not working. So that sucks. I have to go buy a new one now, I guess.
Is that what you call it these days?
Well, it's got a giant hole in it. So, I mean, I can show you a picture of it if you want me to.
No, no, thank you.
We don't have to see your little connector with a giant hole, okay? We don't. That's not appropriate for our wrestling discussions here. Okay?
It's not that type of podcast.
Unless you're willing to, several years later, pay us millions and millions of dollars, I don't want to see your little connector with a big.
Can I take it out of the company funds?
Don't tell, okay?
No, you just find out 14 years later.
Yeah.
All right, well, biggest news of all, the news that I never thought we'd see coming. I mean, eventually, maybe, but did not expect it to happen in 2022. It was not in my bingo card. And that is Vincent Kennedy announces his retirement on Twitter of all places.
No.
About fucking time.
Hashtag push Cesaro. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Hashtag will Sasha and Naomi return?
Hashtag bring back the Fiend.
Quite a big shakeup in lower management, upper management.
Well, I mean, you think about what CM Punk said many, many, many years ago, right? He predicted that the company wasn't going to be any better when his idiotic wife and doofus son-in-law took over. They have indeed taken over.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's going to be any better. Not. That remains to be seen. The hope is that out with the old, in with the new, and you get some new minds and new people and, you know, a little new shakeup and maybe things kind of start changing and keeping up with the times a little bit for the better.
It's a new breed unleashed.
WWE stock jumped quite a good bit.
Yes, it did.
With the new names and management being cleared. I was kind of confused at first, like they just lost the big deal, but I was like, oh yeah, they apparently people have a lot of faith in the new management. You know,
make daddy rich.
Yeah.
I'm trying to cash in.
Now, obviously, we know all everything that's gone behind the scenes as far as Vince McMahon's.
We know what we've heard, and what we've heard is minimal,
the allegation, the misappropriate use of funds over the years and whatnot. See, and now it all makes sense why Vince McMahon kept cashing out some of his stock. When he was relaunching the XFL, but then ended up bankrupting the XFL, you know.
Well, that wasn't the case, you know, like, because once he sells the restock, that becomes his money. What we found out is that he was paying off these things with the corporation's funds and probably labeling it as other things, you know.
I bet Ken Shamrock doesn't appreciate that.
We're going to put an extra bunch of money in, you know, in this area, but we're not going to use that money in that area. That's kind of, you know, phantom money that is being routed elsewhere.
Right. So, I mean, obviously, these allegations definitely played an important part and the investigations into his retirement, you know, a forced retirement. Yeah. Obviously, this company was not going
to ask to resign. Rich guys don't get fired. They just get politely asked to resign.
Because if he got fired, he loses a lot of money. If he retires, he gets
If he resigns or retires, then a lot he still gets a lot of those things tied in. You know, get to quote unquote keep face, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Now, what of the legacy of Vincent Kidd? I mean, obviously, definitely not necessarily the way he wanted to go out. But you cannot deny what he has done in the last, 40 years?
Well, yeah. Since I mean, the problem is that he did a lot of great good, you know, a lot of great things for professional wrestling, etc. But one of the things, too, is that now we can all take a look and realize and be more cognizant, not only of the scandal of the last, you know, several years and such, you know, the last 15, 20 years, but look at all the other times and remember all those other times Vince, you know, was almost caught with his hand in the cookie jar and somehow managed to skirt away from it. You know, the steroid trial and, I mean, there was all kinds of things throughout the years. Every so often there would be something that would somehow hit wrestling. And wrestling would, you know, somehow Vince McMahon would be able to turn things away. But in today's day and age, the information is not so easily hidden. You know, things are, you know, it's more people see it quickly, and you can't just pay off a few people to keep it under wraps when it starts spreading faster and faster and faster. So that's pretty much what led to his ultimate downfall. Had this happened 25 years ago and all this came out, you know, it was a different time, and I mean, he wouldn't have, it probably wouldn't have been seen so harshly, but B, not as many people would have found out about it because the information wouldn't have traveled so fast and it would have still been kept under lock and key, and maybe additional people would have been paid off to keep their mouths shut and that kind of thing. You know, but information moves, you know, faster and faster and faster every day. And so that's, I think, ultimately it. You know, and yeah, I mean, he's quite the elderly gentleman. I mean, for his sake, he probably doesn't need to have the additional stress of working and everything. You know, he's extremely rich. He should probably just go and kind of ride in the pasture and enjoy his retirement and his you know, some of them ill-gotten gains. But you know, I'm very excited to see a changing of the guard. You know, because although he hasn't been, you know, his day-to-day roles have been lessened over the years, you know, Vince still pretty much has his hands in everything. You know, everything still kind of gets run by him. If something goes through and he finds it, he goes, I don't like that, then it gets changed. Even though, like, that's not really his role in the company anymore.
Well,
but still, as the owner-founder, he pretty much still kind of has that veto power, where a lot of, you know, corporations, the people kind of actually put people in power that they feel can handle those jobs and they don't worry about it. But Vince isn't that way. He'll put people in power that he knows will do things the way he wants them to. And when they don't, then he steps in there and says, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way.
Like those glad handling yes men that CM Punk talked about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then when CM Punk talked about this stuff, this was all stuff that, you know, most of the smart fans kind of knew already. It was just had never been talked about on WWE TV, you know, before, or on, by a current WWE wrestler. Whenever somebody who was a former wrestler would come out and say these things, everybody would just say, oh, they're just bitter because they got fired. Or, oh, they're just bitter because, you know, things didn't work out for them in that company like they would have liked, or what have you. But when somebody currently there starts saying things, it carried a little bit more weight amongst the people.
Well, I think it's crazy just because, you know, like you said, 20 years ago, it was a different time frame. And, like, this isn't the first time that Vince has been hit with a sexual, like, allegation like this, because they did the whole big thing in the 90s, along with the steroid trial, is that he sexually assaulted the first ever woman's referee in WWF, and that's why she quit. And it kind of got swept under the rug, but now, like...
Absolutely, yeah.
Now we're in the day and age where if you make one fuck-up 20 minutes or 20 seconds later, it's got 1,000 retweets.
The world knows about it.
Yeah.
The world knows about it, yeah. And
so,
you can't cover that up so quickly.
Yeah, you can't backtrack that. And I think once it got out, more and more things started spiraling. And once those things started spiraling...
On the history and seeing patterns, not just isolated incidents.
And once that happened, Vince went, well, shit.
Mm-hmm. The jig's up.
Time to go.
Right off in the sunset before the sunset bursts into flames.
Yeah. And I saw a report today, and I don't know how accurate it is, because, you know, at this point in time, everything that's going on inside WWE is just going to be speculation until we see stuff. I saw two different reports today. One of them said that a bunch of the AEW talent that came from WWE and a lot of the release talent thought that they would probably still be there if this change would have happened 6 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, in my mind, I don't know if that means like Bryan Danielson. I'm going to assume it means Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, probably Bray Wyatt. I'm just speculating names. I'm just thinking of people that Triple H seemed really gravitate towards. Probably a Johnny Gargano. We probably never have this thing with Sasha and Naomi. And I thought that was interesting, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure I could have told you that. Because all of these departures of people from the NXT Gold brand started after Triple H deuced out or got relieved, quote unquote. The second report that I saw said, and I liked this if it's accurate, is that Triple H is going to have his finger on the pulse, and as soon as SummerSlam, he's going to start making creative changes, because SummerSlam is going to be apparently the first show that he has that is 100% in his control. So he said he's going to do, from this report, and you know, take it with a grain of salt, he is going to do things that make sense and not do things just to do them. Which, if that's the case, a lot of WWE just doesn't make sense anymore. It's not that it's bad television, and it's not that it's bad, you know, workers. Just a lot of the shit doesn't make sense.
A lot. I think it's because you have so many hands in the cookie jar, and it's changing so much that, like, there's not, you know, there's not really a longer term plan on a lot of things, because things do change so quickly. Certain things may have, you know, a grander scheme, but so many of the little things in between are fluctuating and changing so frequently.
Well, this was a 22-year storyline, because this started back in 2000 with the McMahon-Helmsley regime. So. Steph and Trips finally got it. Who says WWE can't do long-term storytelling?
Yeah. We finally took over.
And Heyman's still there. It's the invasion all over again.
And Jeff Jarrett's like number four in charge.
Yep.
TNA wins, bitches.
That's it.
Just like I predicted, no seven.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, golly. I mean, I thought the men would die in the gorilla position, and that Speaking and that's of dying, that would have been the end of Vince McMahon.
He came back, like Jesus.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about a death we're probably going to see Sunday.
He did defeat God, didn't he? At one point.
Yeah, he owns a pinfall victory over God.
No, it was a it was a victory by forfeit.
Oh, was it a forfeit? Oh, yeah, because he beat Michaels and God in the tag match, but he pinned to Michaels. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Yeah,
and then he fought, and then didn't he do, like, one by himself, just him versus God, and God didn't show up, and he won by forfeit.
Yeah.
So, here we are. We have Vince McMahon gone. Co-CEOs Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon, and, of course, announced executive vice president of talent relations and now head of creative, Paul Levesque.
Time to play the game.
Well, also another name that is absent now is Big Johnny, John Laurinaitis. Another name who's been with the company in higher positions for a long time.
Bye bye, bitch.
Found out that he was he apparently was having, you know, relations and paying people off as well.
People power.
He was not as high up on the command. He got his ass fired where Vince got the, you know, please retire kind of thing.
Apparently next on the chopping block is Kevin Dunn. Deuces, bitch.
Oh my gosh, if that's not like the best news I've ever heard, I don't know what is.
I would cry tears of joy.
Granted, sure, yes, he would, you know, he did this for a long time, but I think he was probably just as senile as the old man was when it came to the production side of things. Because, you know, those camera moves and things like that, just like, I'm done.
I was about to say, maybe the camera angles won't make me vomit now.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, so lots could be changing in the days to come. I mean, right before WrestleMania, I mean, it was rumored at Madison Square Garden that apparently Vince showed up and was there. Obviously, I mean, it's Madison Square Garden. I don't think Vince would have missed it for anything.
Yeah.
If he was there. But,
he have to buy a ticket,
though? I mean, he's still majority owner of the company. So... you know, he may be retired, but he still owns the stock.
Well, Eric owns stock, though. Does he get to go into the shows for free? He's an owner of the company, too.
Hot damn. I didn't think about that. Hold up a second.
I know.
What's the depends on the stock works, at now?
It depends on the... I would assume it depends on the type of class of stock.
Ooh, it's still at $70. Hot damn.
Hot I knew damn. I should have bought it when it was $15.
I did buy in when it was $15. I took an entire dividend of that Satan company that I used to work for and spent it all on stocks.
There you go.
And it was all Vince McMahon stock. Wow. It even has CEO Stephanie McMahon. I guess the old regime is dead.
So,
well, I mean, she's a McMahon, so technically she's part of that regime, I guess.
I mean, that's fair.
It's the next generation of that regime. It's not
it's
like
time to the play McMahon's the game
entirely or out, and you know, Jeff Jarrett and his family took over.
My world. No, Jeff Jarrett's got other things to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a last match, you know, to work on this weekend.
He's got to work on a murder in the ring.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a murder so much as it will just be kind of like a
one just, final ram jam.
He'll just try to run the ropes and his heart will explode or some shit. Yeah.
Do you know what I really am kind of curious about? I wonder what Linda's stance is for all of this. Like, I want to know what Linda thinks. Because you know she has to know.
Well, yeah. They, from what I've heard, like they live very separate lives. You know, she's in Washington, you know, doing her political things and on the campaign trail and that kind of shit. So I think they live very separate lives. But, you know, just because they're conservative people, of course, they're going to stay married rather than get divorced to provide up assets and such. You know, they'll just essentially kind of live different lives and have affairs or what have you, but still stay married like the good Lord intended.
If I had to make a guess, I would think that they would be following the similar script as the Clintons. And, you know, as long as she gets her time and her due, he'll, you know. Like she put up with her his crap. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're really you're wealthy enough. You stay together. You live separate lives or what have you. You know.
But in public, you're still the power couple.
Yeah.
Not no mo.
In front of the public eye, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is going to, I mean, affect them as much. I mean, obviously, it's affected them a big deal publicly, especially for Vince and his job. But in the long term there, you know, people are quickly to forget this type of thing.
And honestly, I mean, I think
in their circles.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
And honestly, yeah. I think part of the reason that the stock also went up is because now that Vince is out, I'm pretty sure that the investors are going to think, hey, you know, this is going to be in line for potential sale now, which it could be. Yeah. You never know. It but could be,
yeah.
But I
Vince was the one who was kind of holding out on sale. But now that, I mean, if he is still majority shareholder, he still will have a lot of say when it comes to that. But yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, potential excitement about what could be happening, about new investment opportunities and growth in different areas, because he's been riding pretty much the same way for so long.
Yeah.
Corporate world is fucking weird.
Damn, he still owns 92% of the stock.
Damn, that's like the majority.
Shit, that's a lot of stock.
I mean, it's possible he could have been doing his salary in stock, you know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he had so much. I mean, it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's another reason to hate Nick Khan. Sorry, I'm actually doing research into all this because I just find this shit so interesting. Nick Khan's the reason we don't have the WWE Network, so fuck that guy.
Is he the one who orchestrated the sale to Peacock or whatever?
Yep. So fuck that guy.
Did you know? You think that was Vince? I mean, he brought Nick Khan to basically like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nick Khan's also spreading rumors about the great Nick Saban, so fuck him anyway. Anyways, I don't know, man. All this shit intrigues me. I'm so excited and optimistic, but at the same time, like, I still am like, okay, it's still WWE. How are they going to disappoint me? You know?
Well, you still keep buying tickets is the thing.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Well, I bought tickets when I...
But you'll still go to shows, and you'll still, you know, buy the cock, and you'll still, you know, buy the merch. So, they're apparently not disappointing you too much.
Hey, Peacock is also good to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine on, sir.
Yeah, they got some good stuff in there.
I actually watch more regular shows than wrestling at this point on the Peacock network. I've just been out of the wrestling mood.
That's where I watched the thingy thing, the Bel-Air show.
Bel-Air was so good, dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping for a second season.
Oh, you're getting it. I am disappointed, though, on my cock network. I had to change my profile picture because they took away they took away Sasha. But you'll be pleased to know that out of the two options, I chose Asuka as my profile picture.
But I am greatly pleased,
I mean, who better than Asuka, you know?
I mean, I'm very disappointed that I didn't choose my tribal chief, but
Asuka's worth more than the
I was about to say, I think he'll understand. I don't even think he's ready for Asuka.
Yeah.
No, he's not. Why they don't have a female in the Bloodline stable, because he doesn't want to have to fucking worry about Asuka.
Exactly. That's why they fired Naomi. Yeah.
Why you just let Naomi go and didn't stand up for her ass?
Hey, bro, if we get you in this shit, we gonna have to start dealing with Asuka. And, nah, Ooh, we ain't ready for that.
She'll beat the shit out of all four of us.
She'll take the Universal Championship.
Mm-hmm. Get both those belts off me.
I'm here for it. Fuck it.
All right. It's just like, my gosh, I don't know what's gonna happen. It's gonna take time.
Yeah.
To see, you know, changes happen. But yeah, I mean, and here's the thing, that right? I mean, who was behind Bruce getting fired?
Bruce is still there.
No, but he got fired. Remember, he got fired 12 years ago.
Did he get fired? Or did he just leave? Yes,
no, he got fired, and it was Stephanie's doing.
Oh,
but Vince rehired him during the COVID.
Is he gonna get fired now too?
I mean,
look, under a new regime, it's time to clean house. You got to clean house.
Hold on.
Get out all these fucking old heads.
I mean, sure, he went along with a lot of things that Vince did, but left to his own device and having worked with Triple H, who knows? You know, his expertise, as long as he follows suit to what the McMahon Hemsley era wants, you know, that it could work.
Maybe.
So it just depends about where the relationship is now and how it is.
It's time for the ass boys to come to WWE so that daddy can work for his best friend.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Dude's just very happy where he's at.
Maybe.
But down the line, so much happening. But how about we can talk about what just happened with Death Before Dishonor, Ring of Honor's, I guess, second pay-per-view under the new ownership. Mm-hmm. With lots of matches. I'm just going to run through the card here, but obviously there's 2 points I really want to hit on. Let's see. Samoa Joe defeats Jay Lethal to retain the ROH TV title. Mercedes Martinez defeats Serena Deeb to retain the ROH Women's title. Rouge defeats Dragon Lee. Wheeler Utah defeats Daniel Garcia to retain the Pure Championship. Dalton Kessel and the Boys defeat the Righteous to win the ROH Six-Man Tag Titles. FTR defeats the Briscoe Brothers in a 2 out of 3 falls match to retain the ROH Tag Team Titles. And Claudio Castagnoli defeats Jonathan Gresham in your opening match of all to become the new ROH champion. For the first time, he is ROH champion.
I mean, he was an ROH champion. He was an ROH tag team champion.
Yeah, but
he was not did not hold the world championship. Yeah.
Boo.
It's a world championship because it's actually been defended internationally, unlike the All Elite regional Mid-Florida title.
Boo.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that I heard that it was opening match and that it kind of went so short and seemingly so one-sided. And then started hearing the reports about how Gresham was very, very pissed off about the handling of that and cussed TK out and basically quit. I didn't realize that Gresham had actually been signed to any kind of deal with All Elite, but I guess he had been signed to the ROH brand, or his contract with ROH was not one of the ones that was fully voided. And when they bought ROH, they bought his contract. And apparently Gresh had decided he's deleted his Twitter, so he didn't have to hear people's comments. And then he apparently decided he's stepping away from wrestling for who knows how long. So it's, you know, a very, very unfortunate situation and circumstances.
Yeah, Gresh should have been the one that carried Ring of Honor into the new generation, but, you know, we don't job the AEW guys on anywhere, so kind of saw the writing on the wall with that. And
yeah. Well, you and I, Eric, had talked that since we didn't realize that Gresh had been signed when he was defending the belt against Lee Moriarty on Dynamite or Rampage, whichever one, on TV, we thought that he would be dropping the belt to Lee, who would then go on to fight Claudio and probably drop the belt to Claudio. But I guess they had him beat Lee Moriarty to seem like more of a threat in the, you know, to help hype the pay-per-view and make fans think that, that maybe Gresh would win, and then Claudio, you know, steamrolls him, basically.
I mean, it's disappointing, but, yeah. I mean, I unfortunately don't expect more.
Yeah, we've come to realize that. And from a business standpoint, you know, I understand it to an extent. You know, you invest a lot more money in certain people, and so you want to make them look good. You don't want to do a lot of hard work to put over somebody who's not on your payroll, or who's maybe just taking a, you know, a pay per appearance deal, or, you know, something. I mean, I understand that from a business point, but in the grander scheme of professional wrestling, it is disappointing.
My favorite thing that I've been seeing is that Gresham, quote unquote, isn't good enough to lead a company, but you know. Probably pound for pound the best technical wrestler in the game, but you know.
Well, then Claudio bitched out, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. at Forbidden Door, the other person who's in the conversation for greatest pound for pound technical wrestler in the world. You know,
and I don't want it to sound bitter because I love Claudio, and like if you've known me for any longevity,
a big push. As a single star for a long time, but
yeah,
we didn't want it to kind of come at the expense of so many others.
Yeah, not this way. And I love him to death.
I mean, what else were you gonna do though? I mean, have Claudio, you know, on Dark Elevation, like the rest.
He'll be there in a month or so. Don't worry.
Did he do? Hold on. Did he do the? Did he do the podcast?
The Jericho? No, I don't think so. Not yet.
Well, shit, he won the title before the podcast, so this may be ass backwards, because usually it's podcast title shot Dark.
Yeah, because you do the podcast now, to help build a fan base around you to only be disappointed even further when you go to Dark.
But now he won the title, and you always lose your title match, so Claudio won the title. Still hasn't done the pot. Maybe this is going to be different. Hot damn.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a company that, you know, couldn't sell out, you know, a second tier arena in Duluth, Georgia.
See, I've heard conflicting things. I heard it was sold out, and I've also heard it was half empty.
I mean, I was there.
Half of the tickets, and that's why it sold out. They may not have released every single seat available as a ticket.
But see, I would get that, except for there were like 50 people in a section that could have probably fit like 500. Yeah.
Interesting.
I should have taken pictures. Interesting.
That
thing was not sold out. Now, yeah, I mean, they could have said like we're only selling X number of tickets, but they just did a terrible job of spreading it.
I'll tell you what is sold out: WWE SmackDown in Atlanta, Georgia.
SmackDown? Oh, this is my, it is here. I forgot. I'm going. I'll be there.
You forgot all about it, and you'll be there.
I totally forgot I was going. I was making, apparently I was already making plans for Friday night.
Actually, it may not be sold out. I don't know. Who gives a shit? I'm going to be there. Hopefully Edge will be there. Hopefully the Tribal Chief will be there. Hopefully Brock Lesnar doesn't walk out.
I mean, he should be there. I mean, you know, it's the go-home show. And Fox is probably freaking upset that, you know, Roman's first TV match in who knows how long was on the other show.
And to be completely honest, Roman hasn't been on SmackDown in a while.
Yeah. You know, not only do they not get Roman in a match, who's on his on their roster, they also don't get Madison Square Garden. I mean, obviously, the Garden probably harder to book on a Friday night. But still, that's got to make Fox feel a certain type of way.
Hey, Fox needs to be happy with fucking State Farm Arena, okay? They'll be okay.
I mean, that's great.
Oh, shit! There's a meet and greet with Drew.
Yeah, it's at the Cricket Wireless in Smyrna.
Hot damn, and I'm like, going to that.
It's like at 1 p.m.
Is that on Friday or whatever? Yeah, on the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday afternoon.
They usually do that in the... Or they, not they usually, but they've done that pretty consistently over the years. I remember Jameis did one years ago. Natty and Alicia Fox did one. Mark Henry did one somewhere, you know, promoting a show. And it, yeah, and it's a meet and greet usually for a couple hours. You just kind of run in, take a quick picture, and they hand you their little thing they pre-signed from a stack.
He'll be signing autographs and taking photos. What's mm-hmm. that metronome I hear?
Yeah.
I'm excited now.
I would have considered going if it wasn't like 20 minutes away from my job and not in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, Bianca's going to be in Tennessee. I want to meet Bianca.
I know, right? I think Alexa's doing a meet and greet on Friday also. It's like, what can she do on Saturday? What else does she have to do? Or Sunday, but whatever.
Out of time.
So the Briscoes lose once again. What does that mean for the Briscoes?
Well, still a trash the word came out. Hey, don't you ever say that shit again. The word came out earlier this week that TK said at some kind of press interview that the Briscoes had been signed to the ROH brand. But yeah, losing, you know, definitively again to the tag team champions. You know,
did they get swept?
Yeah, I don't. No. They 2-1.
They went 3?
2-1.
Okay.
They went 3. Okay.
Apparently, if they would have got like swept, that'd have been sad.
An hour. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, I thought that was good, though.
Yeah, well, of course. The first one was fucking good, yeah. The both teams are at the top of the fucking game.
Mm-hmm. Not game over for those guys.
Nope, not yet, at least.
But yeah, I find it a little bit weird that they would not have won the titles of Briscoes, being that they are going to be in ROH, and you know,
yeah, and it looks like Dax Wheeler's sporting a heavy injury. I would heard word and rumor that after Forbidden Door, he was going to be having to take time off to kind of nurse that injury, but I really haven't seen him slowing down. You know, I mean, they still hold championships over multiple different brands. Usually, when one of them gets hurt, they, you know, start dropping titles, but I don't know.
We'll see. I like FTR, so I hope that that's not the case, but FTR arguably is the best thing going in AEW right now.
Pretty much, and I guess since MJF is not there anymore-ish, I guess, There's no pinnacle. So.
Well, Maxwell's coming to the Fed. The
pinnacle, one of the best things in AEW.
No, but I'm just saying that that's like the faction that just faded away. Speaking of fading away, man, I had this. I forgot the segue. Okay, fading away. Anthony Henry. He was in the pre-show. Apparently, he was considering retiring.
We talked about that a few times, and then he got signed by the Fed, and then he got released from the Fed, and
he apparently wrestled for New Japan this past weekend. Yeah, he apparently tweeted that he's not retiring. He's gonna put off retirement. So, good for him. He's a good lad, I think. So, yeah. All right, terrible segue. But whatever. Yeah. All right, let's talk about this weekend coming up. As part of StarCast 5, Ric Flair's last match. Of course, it is a combination of a partnership of a lot of promotions, everybody working together here. We're going to see the Briscoes facing off against the Venerics. Should be a fun match there. The Briscoes, of course, represent Ring of Honor. The Venerics from MLW. Presented by New Japan Pro Wrestling, Clark Connors versus Ren Narita. In a match also presented by MLW.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, well, all of his cars. Yeah. Killer Cross. Didn't they dissociate themselves with Flair, though?
They did, yeah. They stopped airing those commercials for a little bit, and then they kind of toned them down and put them some places, but started doing other ones, yeah.
Killer Cross versus Harry Smith. Hey, maybe you can get your thing signed, Danny. Who knows?
Is anybody going to that?
I mean, I'm going to be at a New Japan merch table for like 5 hours.
Ha, Mika got you to do it.
You got roped into that shit, huh?
Listen. I thought I need gas money, right? Might as well just be there and get some gas money. Why not? Let's see here. What else? Okay, Rachel Ellering versus Jordynne Grace versus Deonna Purrazzo. Presented by Impact as the Impact Knockouts Championship, maybe on the line, I think. I don't know. They didn't specify. All right. Also, the Impact World title will be on the line as Josh Alexander will be defending it against MLW's Jacob Fatu. Ray Phoenix versus Taurus versus that little kid versus Bandido in a four-way match. What?
Other kid? Oh, you said that. Sounded like you said that other kid.
Well, it could be that other kid. I don't know. Never seen me without a mask. The Wolves versus the Motor City Machine Guns.
Motor City.
Kerry and Ricky Morton versus Brian Pillman Jr. and Brock Anderson.
One of these things is not like the other.
Mm-hmm. The Bunkhouse Battle Royal. Who knows how many people will be in there. All right.
Everybody to bring that afternoon.
Four Corners match. Jonathan Gresham, Nick Wayne, Alan Angels, and Konosuke Takeshita.
We'll see if Gresh is there. Like I said, he seemed to make it pretty clear he was stepping away from wrestling.
Yeah, well, you know. And in your main event, in Ric Flair's last match, Ric Flair and Andrade versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal.
Okay. Quite a varied card with a lot of different companies sending representatives, all there to watch the death of, you know, somebody who's old.
It's crazy. Death is scary. And we're going to see it in a ring.
You're going to see it live on pay-per-view. Brought to you by Fight TV.
Parents, get your kids, get your parents' permission before ordering.
Yeah, definitely.
The Rachel match should be fun.
I mean, there's quite a few matches that seem interesting there. It's just
I'm just sad.
It's not for me, dog. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not for me, Daddy. That's for somebody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Quite the card. Ric Flair's. They're also having a roast of Ric Flair as well. As part of StarCast. Ric Flair roasts
himself.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. Daniel Bryan is doing a meet and greet.
As part of StarCast. Hiromu Takahashi is also there as part of StarCast. As is El Desperado.
Eric will not be a part of StarCast.
What will you be a part of this weekend, Eric?
Not a damn thing.
SmackDown on Friday? That's this weekend, yeah. Right? Yeah. Friday, consider the first day of the weekend, right?
Sure. I'm just going to be chilling at home for the rest of the weekend. Chilling like a villain, right, Braids? Right. Good talk.
Well, ooh, Kushida will also be there.
Yeah, he's going to be there because Johnny's there, and he's got to, you know, try to do everything that Johnny does because he's not as good.
That'll be cool. But of course, who can I forget what actually is happening? The main thing that everything else surrounds itself around for the first time in Nashville, Tennessee, SummerSlam. So it's time for predictions. So be ready. Hopefully you've done your homework and you will be able to know that, you know, usually I'm right and you guys are wrong, but we'll wait till after. All right. In no particular order. First, The Mysterios versus The Judgment Day.
Judgment Day.
In no DQ match.
Judgment Day. This is finally the time for Dominic to turn on his old, decrepit father.
And steal the Mysterio mask.
Steal the Mysterio mask and the legacy. Yeah. And then I agree. You were never my father. Eddie's my father.
Do it for his real father. That's right. Exactly.
That's why Rhea was wearing the I'm Your Poppy shirt last night.
Yeah, she was trying to tell him something.
She knows.
She's smart. All right. Next, Logan Paul. I still can't believe they signed Logan Paul to a WWE contract, but
he's entertaining.
Logan Paul versus The Miz.
He's entertaining, but he's still going to lose to The Miz.
You know what they say about men with little balls?
Did you not hear Maurice? Yeah. He is completely average size.
I don't know. I showed you guys that walking gif one time, and his dingus was hung down past his knees, so I don't know.
The internet will lose Anyways, all right. Bianca Belair defends the Raw Women's Championship against Becky Lynch.
And still,
I don't know. I think. Well, no, both are not going to change at the same time. Yeah, Bianca wins.
This is a storyline a year in the making.
Daniel?
I think Bex wins, but I think there's heel shenanigans involved. I don't think it's a clean victory because, you know, Bex is doing this thing where she's kind of out of her mind without the title, and so I think that means that she's going to be willing to take it various dark places in order to accomplish the goal.
So my thought, and I could be wrong, Bianca retains, and Bayley comes back.
Okay.
Because we want some Bayley. I miss Bayley. Ding dong, hello.
I mean, she needs to return at some point. So, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's, you know, we've heard a few rumors and speculation about her status, whether she was medically cleared or not. You know, I guess she's kayfabing us more than we would like to admit in some way.
Yeah. All right, Riddle versus Seth Rollins.
Don't even give a shit.
Burn it down!
I'm going with Riddle.
Because fuck that Riddle.
Liv Morgan defends the SmackDown Women's Championship against Ronda Rousey. I got Rousey winning this.
And still.
Yeah, I think Liv's going to pull it out. I think there's going to be long parts where Ronda's going to dominate. But, you know, Liv is going to show that babyface determination to never give up and, you know, maybe win it with a, you know, snap her finisher kind of quickly, or, you know, reverse a submission into a cradle pin or something like that.
Never give up, you say?
Watch me live or something.
All right. The Usos defend the Undisputed Tag Team titles against the Street Profits, and Jeff Jarrett coming off his tag team match of his own the day prior, or was it the next day?
It's the next day.
Yeah, getting ready for it. Will be the special guest referee.
So is SummerSlam on Saturday, and then Ric Flair's thing is on Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. I was fully expecting to see Jeff Jarrett come on WTV, the special guest referee with a bandage on his forehead from where he had played before. But, you know, I guess that's not the case.
Nope.
No.
Hashtag and still.
Yeah, I'm good with the Usos here.
And this is where the Profits break up, and this is where we get Montez Ford as a single star.
Why do you want them to break up?
I don't want to, but it seems like WWE has been pushing that. So Vince McMahon doesn't like tag teams. And he's dead, so.
He died a long time ago, yeah.
Okay. I really hope they don't break them up, but I feel like it's coming.
I mean, eventually, I guess, but I don't know. I don't think it should be anytime soon. Ben, did you tell us who you'd like to end this one?
I think he was leaning towards Profits. He's
gone back and forth so many times. Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards Profits. You know, these teams. These teams have been going back and forth, trading wins for a long time, but I think, you know, the Street Profits take this, unless Jeff Jarrett decides he's going to go, you know, heel and somehow cost them the match.
Danger said Street Profits are up, and he wants to smoke.
I don't know what that means. I don't like smoking. It's gross.
That's their thing. Because the Street Profits are up and they want the smoke.
I don't know what that means.
It's okay. They bring the swag like nobody can.
Yeah. You like speaking a language that we move on. All right.
Say it every week.
Doesn't mean he knows what it means.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what it means. I'm just saying.
He listens to the wrestling without the sound on. We've heard this, so he doesn't hear them say it.
That's disappointing.
He sees their lips mouth stuff, but he doesn't know what they're saying.
That was a good tweet. Sorry.
All right. Well, now you got to share what the tweet is.
Danny sent me a tweet from Buddy Matthews that said, I'll let them fight for my custody in a ladder match, talking about Rhea and Aaliyah.
There you go.
Pop. Hella pop.
All right. Lashley versus Theory for the United States Championship.
Lashley, and I hope he demolishes him and kills him and takes him out of WWE forever because his daddy ain't there no more.
Well, not quite. But I think Lashley will win.
Lashley needs to bring back the Dominator because the Full Nelson sucks. So if he brings back the Dominator, he wins. If he's relying on the Full Nelson, then I wish him to lose. But
all right.
Full Nelson is a terrible fucking finish for a wrestling man.
And Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin.
Pat. Gonna kill that bum ass Baron.
If it makes Baron go back to sad or go back evil or something and stop being a smiling goof, Pat needs to like double stomp him from the top rope or something.
It needs to bring back his old theme song.
That's what I'm saying. Needs to send him back to his NXT days.
I bring the darkness, I am the thunder. What a fucking bot. Yeah.
Let's go, Pat McAfee. All right, in your main event of the evening, Roman Reigns defends the Undisputed Universal Championship against Brock Lesnar.
One more time.
For the last time ever, apparently, according to Paul Heyman.
But, you know, the John Cena versus The Rock was once in a lifetime.
And that happened twice.
And then it was twice in a lifetime. Yeah. So, never say never in professional wrestling. Because also, we had thought Ric Flair retired like 25 years ago.
But then he had a TNA run, and then he retired. Oh, and then...
For real. Well, even before then, he like retired from WCW at some point in the mid-90s.
After he lost a retirement match in 1994, which we watched.
Which was a shitty fucking year.
Mm-hmm. Did we watch Halloween Havoc 1994? I can't remember.
Yeah, we watched all the 94. Well, sorry, probably, we can't ever go back probably. And watch them ever again.
Probably.
There's no such thing. We can always rewatch.
Nope, they took 1994 off the network.
They just erased the entire year from existence, and the world's been better for it.
You guys just can't have some. You just don't know how to have some fun. Excessive happiness.
Sure, I do.
1994 is not it.
Exactly. WCW 2000 is where it's at.
Oh my gosh. All right. So yeah. So are we all in agreement? Reigns, last man standing match. Reigns is the last man standing.
Is it the last man standing match?
Yeah.
What fun. Yeah, I think he's still going to be our reigning, defending, undisputed tribal chief.
Acknowledge him, people. Acknowledge him. All right. So, we take a quick break from that. Let's go far east. Is that far east? I can't. It was Japan. All right. The G1 climax started. It's the land
of the rising sun, sir.
Last week, a little over a week ago, I guess, ish. We've had, what, 6 nights, Danny? I think we just went through night 6.
I'm currently watching today's show.
Night 6, okay. All right, yeah. Well, let's just run through a couple of highlights here. Night 1, Hinari defeating Tanahashi. I did not see it coming. That's the very first match. I don't think
anybody did for flipping Hinari. Goodness. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, this is a little bit of a pattern, not with Tanahashi specifically, but, you know.
But a pattern nonetheless.
Kota Ibushi, you know, was the previous year's winner, and he lost his first round match to Yujiro Takahashi. You know, so it's not uncommon for that to happen where like a big star loses very quickly. And, you know, it's not an, you know, they like to say the G1 is, you know, kind of expect some surprises. And that was certainly starting it off with a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Osprey, Jay White, and Okada all defeating ELP, Sonata, and Jeff Cobb, respectively, for night 1. Lot of really fun matches. Night 2, though. Night 2 stood out to me. Not because of Yano. That cannot match, whatever. But, man, I really enjoyed Zack Sabre Jr. and Kenta.
Yes, as one would expect. They are two of the fucking best in the world.
But we knew that, right? That was going to be quite a match. In
history. Yeah. And I like that the ending, because, you know, they gave some history about, you know, how Kenta was kind of a mentor to Zack when Zack came to Noah. And they had kind of been friends off and on for years, and, you know, but they had never had this kind of big one-on-one match like this. And Kenta felt the need to kind of teach the young kid a lesson. And a couple times when he possibly could have beat Zack, he pulls him up to continue this beat down and kind of embarrassment and make a statement. And Zack was able to endure and snap on a submission onto the well-documented damaged arm of Kenta and force Kenta to tap fairly quickly. But hell of a contest, hell of storytelling. Good stuff.
Yeah. But Juice Robinson definitely looking great. I get defeating Shingo as well.
Rock hard! Juice Robinson. The International Wrestling Grand Prix, United States of America champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a definitely a thing.
Rock hard, motherfucker.
night 3, the match is a little bit more, I don't want to say tamed, would be the right word for it, but.
So it's the block style is very weird because they have 4 blocks,
right,
and 7 guys in each block, and so each guy only has 6 matches this year. But the way that they're doing the schedule, in order to fit everybody's matches in, like there's long, every guy will have like almost a week and a half where they don't have a single block match. Like we're on night 6, and at night 6.
some of the guys are having their very first block match, and other guys have had two already. So yeah. It's a little bit harder to keep track and pace of that who's getting points, as opposed to everybody on A has a match one night, everybody on B has a match one night, everybody on A has a match one night, and you can kind of follow along and say, okay, they've all had four matches, here's where the points stand. Because you can look at the blocks and say, oh, here's the points, but, you know, this guy's already had two matches, and this guy's only had one match. So, you know, they both share 2 points, but one of them is somehow higher than the other because he's only had one match. So it's a little more complicated, and I think it's going to get a little more complicated down the stretch with this whole New Japan math now leading us into four directions, where you're going to have the winners of four blocks fighting in semifinals, block A and B winners fighting, and block C and D winners fighting, and then the winners of those two matches fighting for the actual finals. But, I mean, yet again, we're already seeing some really interesting matches, some really good matchups, varying different styles, and I like how they kind of separated people into blocks and kind of classified each block. You know, you have A, they call it the monster block because it's, you know, all pretty much all the big guys are in that. And then you have, you know, all the big guys and Okada and Yano. You know, and Okada's a very much a, he's not a monster as far as his size, but he's definitely a monster as far as what he's capable of and being, you know, one of the biggest stars.
Yeah.
In, you know, this era. And then Yano being the quote unquote monster hunter as he tries to use all of his tricks to defeat these big guys. And then you have, you know, block D is kind of a lot of people, you know, several people who are still kind of trying to earn their name and reputation within the G1. You know, like you have David Finley there for the first year, and ELP is, you know, still as a junior heavyweight competing in the D block. And, you know, Aaron Hanare and stuff in the blocks as well. It's just, it's made for some interesting matches already, and we're you know, not even 25% through.
Yeah. All right. Next, night four. Another fun one. This one highlighted by Jay White versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Holy crap, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ishii versus Taichi on night one was just amazing. Those guys always bring the best out of each other. But yeah, Jay White and Ishii always putting on good stuff, and Jay White getting his first victory over Ishii in the G1. So that was a big moment there.
Yeah. Night five, I would say, you know, we had Tanahashi pick up a win against Naito. I mean, those two have wrestled each other so many times.
Yeah, I believe they said that the first time they'd ever wrestled one-on-one for the championship was in 2008. So these guys have literally had a rivalry going on for upwards of 14 years. And on that night in 2008, after the match, Tanahashi pretty much felt that Naito was going to be kind of the next Tanahashi and be the new ace of New Japan. And in a sense, yes, but not in the sense that Tanahashi had hoped for. And the story of Tanahashi, you know, coming to terms with his body getting older, but his mind and spirit still being as strong as ever is really interesting and kind of sad and heartbreaking at the same time, as he talked about, you know, his entrance code and every single time he goes out and he wears it, a few more feathers fall off, but he still goes out and wears it and doesn't repair the old feathers. You know, he just lets it be. I mean, that's kind of an analogy for himself and his own career. Each time he goes out and wrestles, he gets that much closer to being his last time.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
That's what I'm saying, right? Sad Ace is like the saddest shit ever.
That's why we don't think about it that way. You only think happy thoughts. So where are you right now on night six?
The preview matches.
All right.
Just finished the last preview tag match, so they haven't gotten to the block matches yet.
You're a block match.
Sweet. Block match is pretty cool.
Ow! Well, today they do have a very interesting, and I want to get your thoughts after you see it, the match with Evil and Kenta.
I definitely look forward to that one.
Yeah, but coming up, the rest of this week, we got night 7, night 8, Ishii versus Tama Tonga in a match that I'm really looking forward to, and then Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. And Tom Lawler versus Jonah. Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Tom Lawler faces Lance Archer for his first block match, and then he goes on to face Jonah almost right away after that.
Yeah,
Tom is in the monster block too,
which follows up, runs up the weekend with the main event of Naito versus Evil.
Oh yeah,
on Sunday, on night nine. So that's
going to be interesting. Going into that match with 0 points. So far, having lost his first two, his hope of main eventing January 4th, 2023 in the Tokyo Dome is looking a little bit dimmer. Even if he wins all four of his remaining matches, I mean, it's still no guarantee that he'll win the block.
Right. Definitely not. I mean, not the way that the blocks are set up this year. It's just
one or two wins can pretty much end your hopes of winning the block.
You mean losses? Is that what you meant?
What now?
You meant losses. One or two losses could mean
lose one or two matches.
Yeah.
And you can pretty much find yourself out of block contention.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to follow. So far, it's anybody's game in block D. Everybody with 2 points except Yoshihashi, Zack Sabre Jr. leading block C with 4 points. Jay White has 4 points on block B. And Okada has 4 points, block A. So there you have it. And Eric, what are your thoughts so far on the G1 climax?
I like Julia.
She's not even in the G1.
She should be.
All right.
We're gonna do rock hard, motherfucker.
So with that being said, all right, New Japan, I can't wait to see the rest of it. But they're going to be stateside, I guess, also as part of this whole weekend. They're going to have a show in Nashville. It's with the Music City something or other is what they're calling it.
Yeah, Music City Mayhem or something. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, something. So that should be fun. But man, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like, I'm still, my mind's still like blown that Vince is retiring. It's been. That's something. I mean, yes, I could see it happening in my. In my lifetime, but just did not expect to see it the way it happened. But what a crazy world.
He announced it to the world via his Twitter. That's if that lets you, you know, an indication of how suddenly it all came about.
Hey, what happened? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
SmackDown for a very special announcement. You know, he just literally came on his Twitter and said, "I'm done. Thank you." Then now.
Forever. Oh, you're talking about the way that Vince announced his retirement.
Where he just said, "Deuces, bitches, I'm out."
Yeah,
pretty much.
He didn't say, hey, watch an all new episode of whatever tonight to hear a very special announcement. You know,
you mean like said, immediately after when TK said
running promoter of a major wrestling American company, something or other, whatever kind of bullshit he said, like seconds later, we did it. Thank you.
By the way, watch Dynamite tonight.
Dingus. Yeah. By the way, watch an all new episode of Dynamite.
Dumbass motherfucker. Even though Anthem has been doing this a hell of a lot longer.
Well, yeah, but Anthem isn't the promoter of the show.
Billy Corgan's been doing NWA longer.
Yeah, but they're not a major promotion, bro. They don't have TV. You have to buy weekly pay per views.
Oh
no. Speaking of TV, MLA here. Here in Georgia, announced they're working a partnership. They're having a show called Super Series in partnership with MLW and AAA on September 18th. And MLW is going to record it for Bing TV. So, the Super Series. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all goes down. But so far, announced the Commander, Bandido, Lady Shani. So, not too bad.
Interesting names, yeah.
Not too bad at all. It's like when they first announced it, I was like, all right, that looks very promising. So that'll happen again here in Norcross, Georgia, September 18th, which is in the middle of the which we call it Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah, where it like spans across 2 months. It's late for one. It's late starting in 1 month, and it overstays its welcome into the next.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's how it kicks off, with the show. But that is all the show we have for tonight. Though I mean, we're going to have a lot more. We'll be back next week, guys, because we got to talk about what happens at SummerSlam and then Monday Night Raw. The Raw after SummerSlam, I got to imagine it's going to be wild. To see what Triple H does. At what point in the day will he rip off the script? That's a bigger question.
I doubt. Hopefully never. Yeah. Hopefully he just does it and goes.
He just rewrites the script and does it instead of like rips it up in the middle of the way. Like a dingus.
Yeah. But I can't wait. I'll be at SummerSlam live in person to see it all happen. But we'll talk about that and much more next week here on the FOW Live on Podbean Live. Make sure you follow us. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Blurb, Google, the Google Store. I don't even know what they call it. The Androids call it. And Spotify and everywhere else you hear podcasts from. Follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. And I'm on Twitter at Yellowman PA. I did almost forget what my Twitter handle was. I had to think about it for a second.
It's because you barely Twitter.
I tweet enough, But I ended up changing my Twitter, like, maybe, what, 2 years ago?
I think it was a lot longer than two.
Yeah. But regardless of my Twitter name, handle is or was or is going to be, stay tuned. And as always, keep watching wrestling.
Deal with the bitches.